So a few interesting Rashis from the section of Shema Yisrael, a well-known section, cited every day, three times, included in Parshas Veschanan, second section of Vehayim Shemor and Parshas Ekev, the third section, ironically, occurs in the Torah prior, in Parshas Shlach. The first section of Shema, the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, obviously each word is laden with meaning, but perhaps the most dramatic word is the word Echad, and its drama is punctuated by the fact that when we recite it, at least liturgically in Shul, we extend the Dalet, in part because we don't want to confuse it with Acher, but probably more in order to highlight it, punctuate it, and allow enough time for the proper Kavanot. What does the word mean? What does the word Echad mean? So the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyas Shema describes or converts the word into Yichud Hashem. He writes that the first parsha of Kriyas Shema is Sheish Bim Yichudo V'Yachduso. Excuse me, Yichudo Ahavaso V'Taraso. Yichud probably means exclusivity. Einod Milvado, that there are no other gods. He's the only Hakol Yachol. Einod Milvado. It also means, the Rambam probably doesn't allude to this, that Hashem is indivisible. That everything in our world is divided. Everything can be broken down to smaller particles. Human beings are body and soul, conscious and subconscious. Just the last century we've seen how much energy can be released when atomic particles or subatomic particles are crushed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indivisible in a way that the human mind can't process because we don't truly know anything indivisible. Interestingly, Rashi adds a totally different, it's related to the first, but it's different, it's not often thought of. Rashi says, Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Ata, hence the beginning of the Pasuk, we now recognize Hashem in the Dor HaMidbar, recognized Hashem. The Lo Elokei Homos, but there is a parochialism to that. He's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've embraced him. Certainly in the Dor HaLef Mitzrayim, there's only one people that even thought of monotheism in general. In our generation, in our era, there are, Baruch Hashem, many monotheists, but we can still recite that Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is, in many ways, our God, and we're the only ones that have recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his full manner. In fact, there's a very interesting Gemara, which Rabbi Soloveitchik quoted a lot without trying to get off into a tangent, that the Nun Vav of Elokeinu still has Kedusha, and there's a prohibition of erasing it, even though grammatically it's just a suffix, but because it takes the word Elokim and converts it from an objective God into a God that almost we possess and we have a unique relationship with. So the beginning of the Pasuk describes a more parochial, limited, selected recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu Asid Rashi continues, Leos Hashem Echad, he'll one day be universal. So the word Echad doesn't just mean exclusive theologically, it also means universally accepted historically. Human embrace, not just objective theology that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone a God. And Rashi quotes two psukim. One pasuk, very familiar to us. He's quoting this from the Sifri, Bayamahu, Yeh Hashem Echad Ushim Echad, Zechariah Yudalit, an apocalyptic vision of universal acceptance. Although in Rosh Hashanah we recite that everyone will accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu's authority, but say Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, recognize it, recognizing and acknowledging the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the God of the Jews, but the universal God. And then he quotes a pasuk in Tzvanya, which also strikes or speaks of Hashem's universality. Azefoch el amim safa verura likro kulam Hashem Hashem. So this is a very linguistic metaphor. I will convert the entire world into a safa verura to seek a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, you may recognize that word, Safa Barura, that phrase, because the Anshei Knesset HaGadola incorporated it into the bracha, leading up to Kriyashma, B'Safa Barura V'Nimah Kedusha Kulam Ki'echad Onim V'Omrim Bi'ira. Now, there it refers to the Malachim, who do have a Safa Barura, have a language and a communication beyond human communication, but the Pasuk in Tzvanya applies that phrase to people one day, who will be Safa Brura. Presumably Safa Brura means not just clear language or surpassing language, but unified language, and the unity of language will reflect the unity of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either way, it's a very interesting Rashi, which isn't often thought about during the Kavanah of Kriyat Shema, the universality of acceptance, which we daven for, and which we hope for, and the contrast between the beginning of the Pasuk of Elokeinu and the conclusion of the Pasuk, the universality of Hashem Echad. The next two Rashis in this section speak about Avas Hashem. Now, Avas Hashem is a very popular phrase. It rolls off of everyone's tongues. But it's an enigma. It's an enigma at two levels. How do you legislate emotions? You can legislate actions. You can even legislate beliefs. Not everyone can volitionally accept them, but they can be acquired through study, inquiry, consideration. But emotions appear to be innate, undictatable, and perhaps even of more perplexion is how do you command emotions about an entity which can't be seen, visualized, or for that matter even understood. It's obviously a very important question, strikes at the heart of Avodas Hashem in general. And Rashi addresses it from different angles. On the Pasuk of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, he quotes a parable, someone who quotes from the Sifri, if you perform something out of love, you'll probably perform it even when it becomes stressful or overbearing. If you just fear someone or some issue, then you'll probably ignore it or neglect it when it becomes too difficult. So what's interesting about Rashi is he translates Avas Hashem into the performance of mitzvos per se. So it's the route towards Avas Hashem is the attitude towards mitzvah performance. It's not clear from Rashi whether this is the manifestation and reflection and consequence of Avas Hashem, namely someone who is possessed of Avas Hashem, will adhere to mitzvos even when they become, so to speak, tiresome or difficult and challenging, as opposed to someone who services HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yirah Shamayim, in which it will be, he'll be successful until it becomes too taxing. Is that so? So this would be an indicator of the level of religious experience? Or, and this is much more difficult to conceive of, but just as possible, that by performing mitzvot, even through difficult, challenging predicaments, a person can achieve Avas Hashem. When a person's invested in something, or as we would say in the modern context, when we own something, so our passions become more engaged, and the activity conditions our attitudes and our sentiments. So it's not clear from Rashi whether the ability to perform mitzvot, even when they're taxing and challenging, indicates Avas Hashem, or instigates Ahavas Hashem. Obviously, the premise of Rashi is that serving Hashem out of Ahava is superior to serving Hashem out of Yira. The Rambam speaks about this extensively in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud. To a degree, it depends upon which type of Yira Shamayim is being referenced. If the Yira Shamayim is fear of punishment or fear of authority, then of course Ahavas Hashem is superior. If Yira Shamayim is not fear but recognition of distance and awe, that it's probably equivalent to Avas Hashem and works in tandem with Avas Hashem. Either way, Rashi draws Avas Hashem toward a performance-based experience, mitzvos. Whereas a subsequent Rashi, on the next Pasuk Vav, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ila asher anochi mitzavcha yom al levavecha, there's a reference to Torah and the aim to fasten Torah to a person's emotional inner space, al livavecha. Rashi questions the relationship between the goal of Avas Hashem and the experience of Torah, which is alluded to in Pasuk Vav, and then amplified in the subsequent Pesukim, Mishinantam Livanecha, Vidibar Tabam, teaching, learning, speaking, engaging in Torah, the symbolism of Torah, wrapping salient parshas around our bodies, tefillin, affixing important parshios, Kriyat Shema in particular, to the doorposts. What does this have to do with Avas Hashem? So Rashi writes as follows. Why are the two psukim juxtaposed? So Rashi comments, V'hayu hadvarim ha'ila Mahu ahava? How do you achieve ahava? V'hayu adver ma'ila, shemitoch kach ata makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umedabek b'derachav. Through studying of Torah, you understand Hashem, with the premise being you can't fully understand Hashem through any human faculty, because Hashem is transcendent and beyond human capacity. The closest we can come to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by studying Torah, Makir as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is all based on the Sifrei. As the Rambam writes, Lefi HaYedia Hu HaAva, the degree that we know something is the degree that we can that we love it. You can't love something unknowable. Or, more extensively, and I think slightly different, as the Rambam writes in Yesodei HaTorah, by studying Torah, and indeed in Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam doesn't just limit it to Torah, but studying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's general creation, and seeing into the depth and the mystery and the infinity and the beauty and the majesty and all the modifiers the Rambam uses in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, and each person sees it differently. Some people see the world through scientific lenses, mathematical lenses, biological lenses, artistic lenses, nature lenses. But each person is equipped with a different lens to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's masterpiece. You become enraptured with this force that can create something so surpassing, and that rapture leads to an appetite and a desire to uncover more, which ends in Avas Hashem, as the Rambam writes, Nochas Yisrael Yatar. Again, Rashi doesn't amplify, but he's clear, he's aware that learning Torah and studying Torah is necessary to yield Avas Hashem. And as the Rambam succinctly articulates in the beginning of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, the first section of Kriyas Shema contains Yichudo, Ahavaso, Talmudo, Shehu Ha'ikar HaGadol Shehakol Talibo. The Rambam refers to Talmud Torah as the pivot upon which everything revolves. Without that pivot, without knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly Avas Hashem will fail. Rashi adds an additional element. Not only will you understand Hashem and be able to love Him and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thirst for Him in the Rambam's terms, and again, Rashi is very succinct, but you'll also be middabek bidrachav. You'll be able to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu's appearance in this world, moral presence, moral energy. It's very interesting that Rashi adds that phrase because there's really no textual anchor for it. Namely, the Torah commands us to love Hashem, and of course the ensuing psukim provide the content and the recipe for that love, Talmud Torah. But at no point does it seem that Talmud Torah yields the desire to follow in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behavior, expression, emanation in this world. Logically, it makes sense. The more that a person loves Hashem, the love isn't just passion for something physical, but understanding the meaning of religion, the redemptive nature of mitzvahs. You love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you realize how valuable religion is, and you're thankful and grateful for Him having chosen you to serve Him and to be the recipient of religion and all of its benefits. And as part of that, you want to try to style yourself in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's no easily apparent reference to that in Pesukim. It's obviously implicit in Talmud Torah. When you study Torah, you're studying the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's interesting that Rashi adds that phrase. Shabbat Shalom.